When the market settles into silence, a lot of people, they assume the worst is coming.
Oh, yeah.
They see those flat lines, those boring, slow phases, and their mind just immediately jumps to a collapse.
Please.
But what if those periods of, apparent inaction are actually the most critical moments?
What if that's where the real work is being done?
Exactly. What if the foundation for the next explosive move is built precisely when no one is paying attention?
It's the ultimate counterintuitive truth of the market, isn't it?
It really is.
And that's what we're doing. We're diving deep into the technical charts today, specifically Bitcoin and some of the major altcoins, to understand where that smart money is loading up right now, long before the headlines start screaming.
Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
Today, we're dissecting a stack of recent, pretty high-level market analyses. And these sources, they focus entirely on cryptocurrency trend lines, these consolidation patterns, and the underlying human psychology that really drives these structural shifts.
Our mission is to kind of give you the shortcut to understanding what the market's true intentions are.
Yeah, exactly.
This deep dive is really designed for the learner who wants to move beyond the fear, beyond the headlines. We're going to peel back the layers and look at specific, verifiable technical patterns that define the current risk zones.
And crucially, reveal the opportunities being baked in right now.
That's the key.
So let's lay out our path for this exploration. First, we'll zoom in on the immediate danger zone for Bitcoin and Ethereum. We're talking BTC and ETH.
Yep.
They're testing these crucial ascending support lines. And this is really the structural integrity check for the entire cycle.
It is. And then next, we'll move into behavioral finance. We'll
Yeah.
explore the often missed psychology of market consolidation.
The boring part.
Boring parts. We need to understand why these long, slow periods are the ultimate sign of quiet, sophisticated accumulation and not necessarily, market weakness.
Then we'll pivot to a really high potential case study.
This one's interesting.
The specific breakout potential of Bitcoin Cash, or BCH. We'll analyze the convergence of multiple technical structures, even some multi-year triangles, that suggest a whole lot of potential energy is about to be released.
And finally, we'll close by comparing the defense mechanisms of two really distinct assets.
Okay.
We're looking at Binance, so BNB and ZEC, to understand the different styles of price support. You've got the aggressive snapback versus the patient absorption.
And how that affects the rallies that come after.
Exactly, and how sustainable they are.
Okay, let's dive in.
Let's do it.
All right, let's unpack this, starting with the two giants, Bitcoin and Ethereum. They're currently facing some serious short-term pressure, testing support levels that are, absolutely vital to maintain the continuity of this recent upward trend.
That's the core tension right now, isn't it? Let's focus on the Bitcoin technical structure first. Our sources consistently point out that BTC is holding a remarkably clean ascending trend line.
So for listeners who might be a bit newer to chart analysis, just to be clear, an ascending trend line is just drawn by connecting a series of higher and higher lows over time. Why is it so significant when the price is currently sitting right on top of it?
Because it tells a story. It's a story of demand. When the price repeatedly bounces from these higher lows, it confirms that buyers are not just defending a price, they're defending the entire upward trajectory.
So it's about the direction, not just the level.
Exactly. It means every subsequent batch of sellers is met by buyers who are willing to pay a slightly higher price than the last time. It's a persistent, an intentional defense of the structure.
And right now, we've pulled back directly into this established support zone. It's like a stress test on a building's foundation.
That's a great analogy.
How many times can the structure bear that weight before it, buckles?
Precisely. And while the structure is technically still intact, the analysis highlights a pretty worrying detail.
Okay, what's that?
Momentum is visibly weakening compared to the previous rallies.
What does that actually look like on a chart? Weakening momentum. It sounds a little abstract.
It's observable in a few ways. For one, the bounces off the trend line are getting shallower.
Okay.
The candles themselves are smaller, which reflects less conviction. And maybe most critically, if you look at an indicator like the RSI, the Relative Strength Index, you might see what's called a bearish divergence.
Meaning the price is holding, but the power behind it is fading.
You got it. The underlying power driving the movement is just dissipating. It suggests the market is getting tired.
So we have structure, but not a lot of steam. That sets up two pretty crucial scenarios. Let's start with the breakdown scenario, the downside risk.
Right. So if BTC loses this ascending trend line, and this is key, especially if that break happens with a sudden surge in selling volume, The technical analysts are pretty much unanimous.
The deeper correction is coming.
Almost certain. The volume is the validation. It proves the sellers have finally overwhelmed the buyer defense.
And where does the analysis expect that correction to lead? Why is the mid-$80,000 zone cited so specifically?
The mid-80K zone isn't an arbitrary number. We look at market architecture to find these targets.
Right.
This area often corresponds to a confluence of several structural elements. It's typically where a major high-volume node sits.
Meaning a lot of trading happened there in the past.
A ton of historical trading, so it acts as a massive support shelf. On top of that, it might align with a key Fibonacci retracement level, maybe the 0.618 Fib, measured from the last major swing low to the current high.
So losing the immediate trend line doesn't mean it just goes into a free fall. It means it validates the path to the next established support structure, where a different, maybe more patient class of buyers is waiting.
That's it. It just shifts the entire market structure lower.
And losing the trend line just confirms that bearish path to that lower established floor. It would be a pretty significant washout.
For sure. It would certainly shake out all the recent leverage players.
But there is the optimistic scenario, right?
Yeah.
The one where this structure holds firm.
And if the line holds, the pattern immediately shifts its psychological framing. It becomes a classic setup.
What's it called?
People call it the last dip before reversal. This is often a move that seems deliberately executed to scare out the weakest hands.
The people who held on through the whole run.
Yes, only to panic sell right at the most critical support point. Smart money uses that fear to finish their accumulation before the real rally begins.
The market is just cruel in that way. It forces you to sell at the worst possible moment.
It's always testing your conviction. Always.
So let's transition to Ethereum. How does ETH compare to Bitcoin in this stress test? Does it offer any clues for us?
It's highly informative, actually. ETH is structurally mirroring BTC. It's showing the same underlying ascending trend line pattern. So on a medium time frame, both are structurally sound.
But the sources are suggesting that ETH is currently showing slightly greater relative strength. Why the difference?
It's because ETH's price is still trading noticeably above the trend line.
Okay.
It's not sitting right on it like Bitcoin is. This forms a tighter, healthier consolidation. It's like a better cushion of demand.
And buffer zone.
Exactly. That separation shows slightly more conviction from the buyers at the current level.
That cushion seems vital. If ETH manages to hold this rising support, the expectation is that it could lead the broader market in the next bounce.
We see that dynamic a lot.
Yeah, where ETH, being the largest altcoin, it acts as the beta of the market, signaling these structural shifts ahead of Bitcoin sometimes.
It's the leadership signal we look for in major shifts. If the foundation of the whole smart contract ecosystem remains strong, capital flows tend to follow.
So conversely, what if ETH fails first?
That's the critical warning signal. If ETH breaks its key support before BTC does, it acts as a clear canary in the coal mine for the entire crypto market.
Right.
The sources note that ETH has been front-running liquidity shifts lately.
Why does ETH often take that leading role in flagging market shifts? What's the mechanism there?
It's linked so heavily to DeFi, to decentralized finance activity.
Got it.
ETH often signals institutional or larger capital movement into or out of the higher risk parts of the ecosystem. So if that capital starts fleeing ETH, it suggests a broader systemic risk-off sentiment.
So if ETH falters, demand for the whole sector is probably drying up.
That's the read. Yeah.
Okay, so we view ETH's technical performance as a canary for systemic liquidity. So if we accept this structural analysis, what's the single biggest risk if both of these key trend lines fail?
A simultaneous failure would confirm sustained selling pressure, validating the path for Bitcoin to correct deeply toward that established mid-80K support zone.
The failure of the twin pillars confirms the structural break.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, now we move from the geometry of the charts to the mind games.
My favorite part. This segment is all about understanding market disbelief during these boring trading ranges. The time when the market is actively trying to make you quit.
This is where most people, I think, especially retail traders, lose money or they just abandon their strategies. That feeling of stagnation is so psychologically taxing.
And that feeling of nothing happening is, ironically, the most powerful signal the market can send. We should define the consolidation phase using some specific recent examples.
We just went through one. Bitcoin spent nearly 20 days stuck below $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was a painful grinding stretch.
And ETH was right there with it, hovering under 3,000 for the exact same length of time.
Yeah.
That 20-day grind under resistance was widely dismissed by observers. most retail participants, you know, they just tune out when the volatility dies down.
Right. No big green candles, no interest.
Exactly. They see the price failing to make new highs day after day, and they conclude the market is weak or the rally is over. They completely miss the accumulation signal.
And that sets up this fundamental contrast between crowd psychology and what the smart money is doing during these low volatility periods.
The crowd assumption is just rooted in impatience and linear thinking.
Mm-hmm.
When the price grinds sideways or fails to blast through resistance, the prevailing consensus is almost always it's stalled, it has to drop more.
And so they get bored.
They get bored, they get apathetic, or they even start building bearish positions because they're anticipating a dump.
The sources define these periods as slow, boring, disbelief-heavy phases. And I think disbelief is the crucial term there.
It is.
Because the market has to convince you that the structure you believe in is failing, even when the underlying structure is actually holding.
And that collective apathy is the perfect camouflage. This is precisely when smart money, you know, institutional funds, long-term whales, they quietly and steadily load up. They are accumulating positions.
While everyone else is looking away.
While everyone else is bored. They secure massive holdings at the lowest available prices, capitalizing on that market boredom and minimal volatility. They want price stability while they buy.
It's a profound psychological trick, really. You feel like you should be selling because everyone else is ignoring the asset or getting bearish. But that is the precise moment when the patient professional is just executing their buy orders.
It demands extraordinary discipline. And that brings us to the reaction cycle. By the time a fundamental catalyst finally hits, maybe a positive inflation report, some regulatory clarity, the crowd rushes back in with full FOMO.
Buying huge green candles.
Exactly. But the smart money, they've already finished accumulating. They're the ones selling into that retail frenzy later on, having bought the dip that the crowd just deemed too boring to even participate in.
That really separates the amateur from the professional.
Yeah.
You know, I have to admit, I still wrestle with strategy fatigue myself when I'm trying to hold a position during those periods.
Oh, for sure.
You know, when it seems like it might break down.
Yeah.
You look at the chart, you see the price failing to make new highs for weeks, and your mind just starts to invent all the reasons why your initial thesis must be wrong.
That vulnerable admission is so crucial. It highlights that this psychological battle is universal.
Yeah.
The market is deliberately designed to test your conviction during these slow periods. It's designed to drain your mental capital. It makes you question the very structural analysis we just talked about in the first segment.
It's less a test of intellectual skill and more a test of stamina.
And patience.
And patience, yeah. The charts might scream accumulation, but your anxiety screams sell now.
We can connect this to classic behavioral finance.
Yeah.
These accumulation zones, they map perfectly onto the disbelief phase of market cycles.
Right.
Prices rise just enough to be noticed, but the past trauma, the memory of the last crash, it prevents the majority from committing capital, and that allows the smart money to enter cheaply.
So if we accept that consolidation means accumulation, how do we confidently distinguish that quiet loading from a true structural breakdown that signals a collapse? What's the observable difference?
The difference is always in the volume defense. Accumulation involves strong buying volume appearing immediately on dips, creating these rapid recoveries inside the consolidation box. A true structural breakdown, however, lacks that buyer defense. The price just slices through support easily on high selling volume.
Suggesting sellers are just overwhelming the market.
Completely. So strong buyers stepping in quickly on drops, even if the price movement is slow overall, is the key signal of smart money loading up.
Welcome back. We've established that the big players, BTC and ETH, are testing their foundations.
Right.
And that market boredom is actually fertile ground for accumulation. Now let's pivot to an asset where all these structural forces seem to be converging into a really high potential setup.
Bitcoin Cash or BCH.
This segment is all about identifying assets where immense kinetic energy is building up. So we need a detailed examination of its converging technical patterns that suggest a strong, imminent directional move.
For sure. Our sources highlight two patterns that are working simultaneously on BCH, and this gives us both short-term trade opportunities and long-term structural conviction.
Okay, so let's start with the short-term pattern.
The falling wedge.
Let's define the geometry of that structure for everyone.
Okay, so the falling wedge is formed by two converging trend lines, and they're both angled downward. The core observation here is that BCH has been repeatedly rejected at a long-term descending trend line. That's the strong resistance overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's forming this wedge on the lower time frames.
How does that specific geometry, the two downward lines getting closer, how does that indicate a bullish reversal?
Because the selling pressure is exhausting itself within a tightening range. As the pattern narrows, the momentum of the downtrend slows down dramatically. Sellers are finding less and less reward for their efforts, and the range volatility just contracts. This compression is recognized as a bullish reversal pattern because it indicates a supply vacuum is forming.
The structure is coiled.
It's a coiled spring waiting to shoot up.
Okay, so what is the required breakout condition to formally confirm this bullish scenario and, you know, invalidate the idea that buyers are just exhausted?
The confirmation requires buyers to achieve two things. First, they have to pierce the upper descending trend line of the wedge.
Right.
And second, they have to hold that line, flipping the previous resistance into solid support. It's the retest and the hold that confirms the structural break.
If that's confirmed, what are the technical price targets that this falling wedge geometry gives us?
The measurement is taken by projecting the widest part of the wedge upwards from the breakout point. So if confirmed, this breakout opens a specific path toward the $650 to $700 price zone.
That's a pretty strong, identifiable move derived just from the short-term pattern's potential.
It is.
That's the short-term view. But what truly makes BCH unique here is a confluence with its long-term structure.
The multi-year symmetrical triangle.
Now, this provides the critical context and conviction. Right?
Absolutely. The core observation shows that the BCH perpetual futures chart has respected a steady ascending trend line for over a year. At the same time, the price is compressing supply and demand inside this massive symmetrical triangle formation.
A symmetrical triangle usually indicates pure indecision, though. Neither buyers nor sellers are taking control. So why are we framing this as accumulation?
Because we have to prioritize the underlying long-term support. The rising lower trend line, that ascending part of the triangle, is the key signal.
I see.
This is what we call classic long-term accumulation behavior. Each successful higher low on that ascending trend line indicates that long-term demand is strengthening. Demand is steadily soaking up supply over time, year after year, reinforcing the floor.
So the length of the timeline dictates the power of the accumulation. Where is the price currently positioned within this major multi-year structure?
The price is currently pressing right up against the triangle's upper downward sloping boundary. It's making a critical, really high-stakes attempt to break out of this multi-year consolidation prison.
Now we get to the scale and the potential of this. What is the specific trigger that unleashes all this pent-up energy from the multi-year structure?
The trigger is a weekly or monthly candle close above the symmetrical triangle structure. And this is absolutely critical. It has to be backed by high volume.
The volume is the proof.
The high volume is the validation. It proves that the multi-year institutional supply that was compressing the price has finally been overwhelmed by massive fresh demand.
This leads to a moment of wonder.
Okay.
I mean, multi-year triangles, they normally resolve with strong, decisive, and really rapid directional moves. This compression of supply and demand has built up immense kinetic energy to like a massive rubber band stretch for years.
Wow.
Once it snaps.
Whoa. Yeah, imagine scaling that kind of move. You go from a year or more of tedious, quiet accumulation where the market convinces everyone to sell out of boredom into a rapid, expansive phase where the price doubles or triples very quickly. It just highlights the immense power of patience and why tracking these massive structural patterns is infinitely more important than the daily noise.
It's the difference between trading the day-to-day fluctuations and trading the market's underlying, you know, multi-year intentions.
Exactly.
So given that we have two patterns here, the short-term wedge and the multi-year triangle, which technical pattern holds more strategic weight for the long-term outlook?
The multi-year triangle suggests a larger structural change in the asset's valuation, giving its signal priority over the shorter-term wedge.
The long-term signal dictates the ultimate trajectory, even if the short-term pattern offers the perfect tactical entry point.
You've got it. That's the framework.
We've analyzed the heavyweight struggling and BCH building up energy. Now, let's look at a comparative study that illustrates two fundamentally different styles of buyer defense when a critical support level is hit.
Right. And we start with Binance, with BNB.
Okay.
BNB offers a superb case study in resilient patient support. Context is key here.
Right.
BNB dropped sharply from a peak near $1,300 down to around $793. That was a significant, almost 50% drawdown in a short period.
And that's enough to create massive market fear.
Oh, for sure. A 50% correction should shatter structure, yet the market analysis suggests the long-term structure remained completely intact.
How is that possible?
That is the core observation. Despite the severe drop, BNB is holding firmly above its long-term uptrend line, a trend line that has been meticulously defended since early 2024. The correction, though brutal, respected the fundamental floor built over many months.
So what does that tell us about the nature of the buyers operating in the BNB market?
It indicates steady, reliable support forming repeatedly but patiently. Every time the price taps this long-term zone, institutional or long-term buyers just quietly step back in.
So they're not rushing.
They are not rushing in to create a massive green candle. They are calmly absorbing the supply offered by the panic sellers. They're defending the structural integrity of the asset.
And what about the very short-term activity? What's happening there?
On the lower time frame, DNB is currently moving sideways inside what's often called a tight little box.
A volatility contraction pattern.
Exactly, a VCP.
Why is this tight little box relevant? It just sounds like the very definition of market boredom we talked about earlier.
It is, but in a tactical sense, this low volatility range-bound movement is critical. When volatility contracts this tightly, it creates a highly measurable environment. Supply and demand have reached a perfect equilibrium, and that's building pressure.
I see.
So for traders, this box provides clear boundaries for entry and risk management, knowing that once the price breaks out, either up or down, the move will likely be sharp and fast.
Now let's contrast this controlled patient defense with the behavior of ZEC, which displays an entirely different reaction to its support zone.
The contrast is illuminating. ZEC bounced hard the very moment it hit its accumulation zone.
An immediate reaction.
An immediate, aggressive, and fast reaction, a sharp snapback. This demonstrates immediate buyer readiness and, well, urgency. Sellers who reached the support were met with overwhelming, quick demand.
So ZEC buyers are showing urgency, they're showing aggression, trying to reclaim lost territory instantly. BNB buyers, conversely, are just absorbing the supply slowly.
Exactly. BNB is taking the slower, more controlled, more patient approach, consolidating, absorbing supply, and maintaining its steady support structure without that violent rebound. The result is the same support holds, but the method of defense is vastly different.
What's the strategic insight we can gain from understanding these two distinct responses, the immediate snapback versus the slow, methodical absorption?
It's vital for an adaptive strategy. The patient consolidation we see in BNB is often cited as leading to a cleaner breakout later on.
Why is that?
Because supply is absorbed slowly and methodically over time, fewer retail weak hands are left in the structure.
Okay.
This means the eventual upward move faces less overhead resistance and tends to be more sustainable.
So the quick snapback might satisfy the impatient trader, but the slow, methodical absorption lays a better, more stable foundation for a long-term rally.
That's the idea.
So if we see this patient absorption, does controlled consolidation mean BNB's upward move, when it finally happens, will be inherently more sustainable than a snapback?
Generally, yes. Slower accumulation means fewer weak hands are shaken out upon the breakout, which translates to a more reliable, sustained move with less immediate retracement risk.
Patience equals sustainability. That's a powerful equation.
It really is.
Okay, let's unpack all this and synthesize our core findings. We started by identifying these pressure points in the major assets, and we finished by examining the massive potential energy building up in these long-term structures.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean for the learner?
The overall market message is that we are at a pivotal inflection point. BTC and ETH are actively testing critical ascending trendline supports. This is a high-stakes moment.
A decision point.
A huge decision point, setting the stage for a decisive move, either a structural breakdown or a powerful last dip before reversal rally.
And critically, we have to consciously reframe what quiet market time means.
Yes.
We need to recognize consolidation, like that prolonged grind where BC stayed below 90K, as a potential sign of smart money accumulating positions, not market weakness.
Boredom is often the market's primary tool for shaking out the impatient.
Absolutely.
And the absence of volatility often masks the most significant action. Furthermore, we highlighted the high potential assets like Bitcoin Cash.
Right, BCH.
Where the convergence of multi-year technical patterns, that massive symmetrical triangle, suggests that explosive moves are being prepared due to years of supply compression.
The scale of the pattern predicts the scale of the move.
That's the takeaway. And finally, understanding the nuances of buyer behavior is critical.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between an immediate aggressive reaction like the snapback we saw with ZEC and the patient slower consolidation as demonstrated by BNB dictates how clean and how sustainable the eventual breakout is going to be.
It informs your strategic timing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you can integrate these structural and psychological insights, you are no longer just reacting to the noise. You are trading the underlying intent of the market.
We've seen how dedicated technical analysis reveals these hidden opportunities during periods of market boredom and collective fear. And the biggest, most reliable signal might not be a huge, attention-grabbing green candle.
Instead, consider this. If strong selling volume is an absolute prerequisite for a major trend to truly break down and collapse, what does it signify when selling volume consistently disappears, leaving only quiet price consolidation right on top of a major rising support line?
What does that absence of selling pressure tell you?
Yeah, what does it tell you about the true direction of institutional and long-term capital flow, even when the price refuses to move?
That silence might be speaking the loudest about where capital is truly positioned.
Thank you for providing the source material for this deep dive. It gave us a crucial look into the interplay between structural integrity and market psychology during these, you know, really critical consolidation phases.
We encourage you, our listener, to observe these specific patterns, the ascending trend line tests, the multi-year triangles, and the contrast between aggressive versus patient consolidation in your own charts this week.
Structure and patience.
They're your most powerful allies in navigating these noisy, complicated markets.
Until the next deep dive, maintain your curiosity and, most importantly, maintain your discipline.